remembered answering the phone. And I said, have you found her? And he said, I hope you're sitting down.
The homicide squad has been called in to investigate the death of a woman in Melbourne. The 24-year-old's body was discovered last night on the ground floor of a St Kilda Road apartment building.
As soon as I found out how she died, ostensibly by climbing into a garbage chute when she was pissed.
I don't think she climbed in there by herself.
I have no idea how anybody thinks anybody could get in that thing.
Have you ever heard of anybody going through one of these things before?
No, never. Never in my... And I've been in the waste game 30 years and I've never heard of this.
She hated being caged and she was claustrophobic. So I can't see her ending her life that way.
This is episode 2 of Phoebe's Fall, a podcast from the Age newsroom in Melbourne. I'm Michael Batchelard.
And I'm Richard Baker.
And we've been investigating the short life and brutal death of Phoebe Handsjuk.
Oh, hi. I'm trying to contact Betul Ozulup.
Yes.
I'm a journalist at the Age newspaper.
Well, what is this regarding?
It's regarding the Phoebe Handsjuk issue.
Oh, my God.
Phoebe Handsjuk's body was discovered by the concierge at the Balencia Apartments. Betul Ozulup, known as Beth, left her job shortly after finding Phoebe's body. She's still traumatised by what she saw.
I don't want to get involved anymore. I've already had enough headaches.
Last time on Phoebe's Fall, we got to know Phoebe as a complex, strong and troubled 24-year-old.
In this episode, we'll explore what we know about the last day of her life, the 2nd of December 2010, and the debate around how she ended up in the garbage chute that killed her.
There are two key questions here. Is it physically possible to put yourself feet first into a narrow hatch that sits a metre off the ground? And is this something Phoebe was really likely to do?
Finally, we'll cover the horrific nature of the injuries that killed her, and a warning, this won't be easy listening.
Before the concierge even called police, she rang her boss, the building manager, Eric Giamoro.
And I can't hear anybody. All I can hear is a very deep, sort of deep breathing. And I'm trying to explain to her, you need to calm down because I can't understand you. And that's when she says that there's a body in the compactor room. Beth was inconsolable, obviously. She was not in a state where she could talk to anyone.
Unbelievably, none of the emergency services at the scene checked to see if Phoebe was alive. Something Roland Legg, one of the state's most experienced homicide investigators, finds extraordinary.
Well, from the moment you join the police force, the most important thing is the preservation of life. The protection and preservation of life is the number one priority.
She may have been alive while I was standing there chatting, and given a litre or two of intravenous fluid, wouldn't be dead. Because she was alive when she got to the bottom of the thing. I mean, her blood's on the back of the door of the bloody bin.
That was Phoebe's father, Len Handsjuk. The failure to check for signs of life would turn out to be the first of many questionable decisions by police, as the homicide squad sealed parts of the building to begin their investigation.
So that's what we know about the scene at the bottom of the chute on the night Phoebe died. But let's rewind 12 hours to the start of that day.
According to her partner, Ant Hample, she was sleeping peacefully when he left for work at around 8:30 that morning. Phoebe was still recovering from a drinking binge earlier in the week.
At about 8:45, she sent an email and used the computer once or twice. Then, at 11:43 a.m, there was a fire alarm.
Okay, guys, I've got the footage of the building evacuation here. Let's have a look.
So what are we looking at? This is the foyer of the building, isn't it? It's 11:43 a.m?
Yep, and Phoebe's walking out with her dog, passing a few people.
She's wearing sunglasses and, oh look, she just stumbled back against the wall there. What do you think's going on?
Well, it's hard to say. There was a lot of debate at her inquest about whether or not this footage showed that she'd been drinking at this time of the day. To me, I can't tell from that. I mean, if you're getting led around by a dog, it's pretty easy to have a bit of a misstep.
And here she is, she's coming out the door now, and she actually seemed to be striding pretty quickly and confidently, didn't she?
Yeah, yeah, and she looks like a normal young woman. She's got a really short cropped black hair, sunglasses on, singlet, jeans, and a big black handbag.
So 7 minutes later, there's a picture, but not video. I think that the video of this was censored. She's going back into the building again after the fire alarm.
Yeah, and that's around 11:50 in the morning, and that is the last image of Phoebe alive. As soon as she got back into the apartment, she used the computer again, and that's all we know about her day. We don't know what else happened that afternoon.
Except to say that sometime between noon and 7 p.m, Phoebe went into the chute and plunged to her death.
Richard.
G'day, Lorne. How are you? Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Thanks for having us. Retired Detective Lorne Campbell couldn't believe it when he was told his granddaughter had died in the garbage chute.
He said, "Dad, I've got some bad news." And I said, "What's it?" And he said, "Phoebe's dead." I said, "What?" And I'm thinking, I have seen these garbage chutes, but I'm anxious to have a look at this one down there.
So, Richard, Lorne's really important in this story, isn't he? He's much more than just a grieving grandfather.
That's right. He plays a double role, if you like. He's got his responsibilities and his feelings as a grandfather, but he's also a retired police detective with about 28 years' experience in the force, and he's a real stickler for detail. And straight away, he put his detective's mind to work.
If I lobbed there as a detective and saw a girl in the compactor room of a building like that, my first thought would be, we're going to have a really close look at this one.
You spend a lot of time with Lorne. What's he like as a person?
He's a good bloke. He's very sharp, very quizzical, very fair, very meticulous. And he did some things that the police didn't do or weren't going to do. And it's fair to say he uncovered some really important and interesting things.
Yeah, it's going.
Today we're conducting some tests, two tests.
In the days after Phoebe's death, Lorne took two of her friends to the apartment building where she had lived. He wanted to test if it was even physically possible for her to have climbed into the garbage chute herself.
Of course, I teed up those friends of Phoebe's, Viv and Sarah, and they were both very fit girls and great people to conduct this experiment with. So it was being done on the chute in specie. And they had a terrible job. They both got seated in it. But they had a terrible job doing so, and they were staying cold sober.
My problem with that is that the knees won't bend. Well, you're sitting on that trap now, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Lorne videotaped the whole experiment.
It feels like my body would have to hyperextend to get through. I'd have to arch my back heaps, and I feel like I'd get stuck here if I went any further.
Sarah, in particular, was training for a world title bout, boxing bout. She's a very, very fit young lady.
Can you take us through what it was like physically to climb into that thing?
It's a very difficult thing to do. Your hands would have to be on the side, on the handle, or over the actual chute itself, on the wall. There's no way, I don't understand how there's no handprints, fingerprints anywhere. There's no possible way physically to do it yourself. Without having handprints.
But there was no evidence of fingerprints at the chute entry at the time of Phoebe's death. This prompts an obvious question. Were there no prints to start with, or did somebody wipe the entry hatch clean?
None were found. No, nothing. No, there were a couple of little smudges and things apparently, but certainly no identifiable prints.
Lorne wasn't satisfied with that first reenactment. It showed that people could get into the hatch with great difficulty, but could they go further in and get to the point where the chute became a vertical drop?
Because Lorne and Phoebe's friends were 12 stories up, it was obviously too dangerous to do this part of the test at the apartment building.
So they went to the man whose company built the chute, Neil Bone. He made a replica of the top section of the tube to see how far into the shaft they could get.
A recreation of the situation has been made here with identical dimensions. And just to
again, one of Phoebe's friends volunteered and Lorne videotaped the experiment. You can see excerpts of that tape on the Phoebe's Fall website.
But it was a huge amount of effort for her to lift one foot up, reach her hands in underneath the door and pull herself up. And she tried it a couple of times and slipped, and it was only after sort of, you know, a couple of efforts she managed to do it.
That's Neil Bone. He became fascinated by this case and was happy to help Lorne. He watched intently as Phoebe's friends struggled to feed themselves into the chute he'd built.
Have you ever heard of anybody going through one of these things before?
No, never. Never in my... And I've been in the waste game 30 years and I've never heard of this.
There's all these warnings. Don't put pot plants, don't put bottles, basically because of noise. There's no warning that says don't get in. Have you ever felt it necessary to put such a warning?
Not really, because of the fact that it's, you know, mounted so high off the ground, and the fact that the door is only 450 millimetres wide. When you look at it, you say, well, how can you get in?
The actual opening was even smaller, a bit over 40 centimetres, slightly wider than a laptop.
I used to use that rubbish chute. I used it every week, and it was like a bear trap. It was a nightmare. It was an absolute...
Shelley Tonkin cleaned the apartment where Phoebe lived with her partner, Ant.
I actually couldn't believe it, because I couldn't see how you could... There's nothing to hang on to. It's quite high in the wall. I could get as far as getting one leg in. I couldn't see what you'd hang on to get your other leg in. But I also couldn't see... Once the bulk of your weight had left the door, the trap door, it would have just slammed shut, whether it was on your head or your feet, and you'd be stuck there.
The inside diameter of the chute is about 530 millimetres, and that's, again, an industry standard. The tubes are made of 1.6 mil zinc alum, or like a galvanised sheet. The one that was in Valencia is a galvanised steel chute. So the internal surface, there's a weld there, so it can be quite abrasive.
So we couldn't get into the Valencia, but we've come to this other building to see what one of these waste chutes looks like.
All right, let's have a look.
We're on the 12th floor, and check this when you open the door.
There's a nice rush of air up, isn't there?
You get this whoosh of air. And it's pitch black in there, but you can kind of guess that 40 metres down there, that's where that compacting machine is. It's a sheer drop.
When you put something in, it goes down a short passage and then into the vertical chute. Physics tells us a free fall of 12 floors, or 40 metres, takes a little over 3 seconds.
In his findings, the coroner said Phoebe had tried to control her descent by pushing her backside and elbows against the walls of the chute. But the problem is, there's little or no medical evidence that this actually happened.
So the fact is, we simply don't know what happened inside that chute. Did it take 15 seconds, 10, or just 3? And that's what it sounded like when we dropped a weighted bag down a 40-metre chute, just like the one at the Valencia. So tell me what happens when the waste hits the bottom.
The waste then slows up, so if it's a bag of waste, it'll hit that usually a 45-degree deflector. It hits that, and then that slows it up and diverts it down and into the compactor. So that's usually the first, you know, impact point.
The horrific thing is that Phoebe didn't die instantly. To get out of the garbage chute, she needed first to pass through the compactor.
Its job is to crush rubbish, then open a trapdoor and push the waste into the bins below. Back at the factory of Neil Bone's company, WasteTech, he showed us how the compactor works.
So this is the chamber where she fell in. That's the compaction blade. And that's the cutting edge that it would have come down and compacted. So you can see it's tiny. It's very small. This blade here, there it is there. So that's the leading edge there, and that compacts down past this shear point here into the bottom.
And looking at the blade, I'm seeing this
really nasty looking. This one's a bit rusty, but a really nasty, sharp looking piece of steel.
Yeah, made to cut waste.
So it almost acts like a pair of scissors.
Correct, yeah. There is a
According to Neil Bone, when Phoebe tumbled into the compactor, it ground into action. He believes the machine took two bites at Phoebe before it spat her out.
Bodies of a young Caucasian female weighing 57 kilograms.
Body is clothed in a grey singlet type top, which is bloodstained.
On the posterior aspect of the neck, there is an area of bruise.
Adjacent to the anus, there is a laceration measuring 3 by 1.5 centimetres,
which extends through skin to expose underlying skeletal muscle.
Fracturing of the proximal left femur and proximal distal right tibia and fibula.
Right foot is virtually completely traumatically amputated.
Significant injuries to the lower limb.
The foot remains attached to the limb by muscle tendon alone.
She struck an object and caused significant and extensive damage to her right lower limb in the region of the ankle joint, particularly with in relation to severance of the important blood vessels. And she's died ultimately as a result of massive blood loss consequent upon those injuries from the fall.
That's Byron Collins, a forensic pathologist of 40 years' experience. We've asked him to review Phoebe's injuries and aspects of the inquest into her death.
So, Rich, we've heard some pretty gruesome details. How did Phoebe's family react when this came out?
Well, they found it really hard going, but Phoebe's mum, Natalie, still made a point of contacting the coroner and asking for him to give her everything he had on the case.
I made a point of wanting to know everything that happened. I wanted to know every detail of what happened to her so that I could find out what the truth of what went on. And to do that, I remember getting the pathology report in the mail, and I'd asked for it. I'd sent to the coroner's court. I wanted it. It was a big warning on it. Don't look at this without a medical practitioner. Don't look at this on your own, whatever. And I thought, stuff it. I went through every detail of it.
Well, Michael, we know from Lorne's experiments that it's possible, though difficult, for a fit young woman to climb into this chute alone.
There's no doubt that Phoebe was fit. In our first episode, Sarah Howard, her friend, told us how she was fast-tracked to a karate black belt in 2 years, and others talked about how she loved to climb. In fact, the coroner drew attention to this. In his finding, he said, and I quote, "Phoebe's long-term enthusiasm for climbing and penchant for undertaking physical activity was a factor in this event."
Okay, so the coroner thinks it's possible to do this to yourself, but Natalie was sceptical.
I started just Googling, you know, death by rubbish chute, and I found that there was nothing, and nothing had ever happened in this country. There had been a couple of mysterious deaths in the United States.
H News Desk.
Hey, Michael, come and check out this.
What have we got?
Have a look here.
You're watching WBAL TV 11.
Tonight we continue to follow a bizarre and very baffling case. Two bodies found at the bottom of a downtown trash chute within 14 months of each other.
Resident Harsh Kumar was found in a trash bin. Police said the 30-year-old fell down the trash chute and went through a trash compactor.
So this is America. There's no other case in Australia that we know about.
None in Australia and very few internationally, but would you believe two in Baltimore in the same building, 2010 and 2011.
Around about the same time too.
Yep.
Bizarre.
Yep. Very bizarre.
Baltimore City Police declared it an accident.
I don't see how a person could get in there in the first place. So two times the same thing, it's unnerving.
In the case of the 30-year-old man, he had steel knocks and alcohol in his system.
Jesus. So it's really the same profile.
Accidentally? No, it's really small.
Reporting live downtown, Kyrie, WBAL TV 11 News.
In the Baltimore cases, both people went head first down the chute. And don't forget with Phoebe, she went in feet first. And in my view, that's a much harder thing to do.
To me, someone who was as intoxicated as that just couldn't have done it physically. There's a big balancing thing involved in that, and a lot of coordination. And if you were drunk, you just couldn't do it. I mean, there are some people, I suppose, at 0.16 have got the capacity to maintain sort of some observable equilibrium, but Phoebe, at that level, no way, no.
And expert pathologist Byron Collins, who he asked to review the evidence, couldn't say for sure one way or the other.
I don't think it would be easy for somebody of her stature to get into the chute, but on the other hand, I don't think it's impossible.
The coroner, though, was unequivocal. He said Phoebe, under the influence of alcohol and Stilnox, put herself into the chute.
But few others see it this way. All of Lorne's experiments can't answer the other key question. Would Phoebe actually have acted this way if she wanted to end her life? Is this the way she'd choose to do it?
To extrapolate what he's extrapolated, which is a very extreme thing to do. I mean, who in their normal life climbs into a garbage chute?
But it just never made sense to me that she would choose that method, because she had a balcony quite, readily available in the apartment that she was living in. I just thought if Phoebe was going to take her life, she would have done it. She would have been more likely to take tablets or some sort of, an overdose or something like that, but not something so horrific and violent. It just didn't make sense to me at all.
It's not just Phoebe's mum, Natalie, saying this. Her closest friends also find it hard to believe.
She hated being caged and she was claustrophobic, so I can't see her ending her life that way.
So I just think it just seemed like there's just so many factors in it that just seem it's so unlikely that, she put herself down that chute.
And it's much easier to just sort of say, oh, well, disturbed person. We just leave it all go.
There is one other possible explanation, that Phoebe was put in the chute by someone else. Her grandfather, Lorne, the retired detective, tested this theory as well.
In his video, it shows that a strong man is able to feed a slim woman into the chute when she's pretending to be unconscious.
That's the room where I met the only photos.
No. What? That's what?
I can get her in there from here. Let's do it.
Well, Michael, we've nearly reached the end of this episode and we've covered a lot of ground. But before we finish, there's one more thing I really, really want to get across, because it's stuck with me for all these years now. And that's when Phoebe was found at the bottom of the chute, her jeans were halfway down her legs.
Yeah, it's really hard to wrap your head around. There's no evidence of sexual assault. So what are her jeans doing down there? And none of the experts at the inquest could really answer that question convincingly.
No, no one was able to say whether or not they were like this when she went in, or that they fell like this on the way down the chute, or that she may have ripped them down at the bottom in an effort to stem her bleeding or something. We just don't know. But that doubt there leaves open a lot of possibilities.
If her jeans were below her knees before she got into the chute, there is no way she could have got in. She would have been hobbled.
We asked former homicide detective Roland Legg to review the case. He's as puzzled as Phoebe's mum on the question of the jeans.
I'd be interested in knowing how those jeans came down, whether they were down before she went into the chute. If you were looking at a third-party involvement, it might be easier to put her in that chute with her pants down to stop her legs coming apart. If someone's struggling, or even if someone's unconscious, it would normally be more difficult to feed them into a chute of that size with their legs apart. Pulling the pants down, much easier.
Next time on Phoebe's Fall.
I got along with Ant, and I don't necessarily think he was the right person for Phoebe, just because I think that I think they were very different people. They come from very different backgrounds and maybe very different values.
And George was there, and he wouldn't look at me, but he kept saying, she was depressed, it's a tragic suicide, and just pushed it and said that 3 or 4 times to me. And I'm sorry I bit my lip, but I should have said to him, who the fuck are you to be making a psychiatric diagnosis?
I got a call from my dad, and he said, are you going to the Hamples apartment? And I said, yes. And he said, well, do yourself a favour and get yourself a recorder record the whole thing.
If you found any of the material in this podcast disturbing, you can call Lifeline or Beyond Blue if you're in Australia, or your local crisis service.
Phoebe's Fall is presented by Richard Baker and Michael Batchelard, with additional reporting by Nick McKenzie. Production by Tom McKendrick and Tim Young. The consulting producers are Julie Pizzetti and Siobhan McHugh. Matt Absalom Wong manages web development for the series, and our production assistants are Jake Evans and Lucy Dean. Audience development support from Dewey Cook and Michael Schlechter. Our executive producer is Michael Batchelard. You can see extra features for this series at theage.com.au/Phoebe's Fall, and while you're there, subscribe to The Age or the Sydney Morning Herald for access to the best investigations, news exclusives, commentary and more. To sign up, go to theage.com.au or smh.com.au and click subscribe.